This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. We continue with the tafsir, commentary of Surah Al-A'la. In the previous two sessions, I completed the beginning verses. So, just to retranslate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Elevate the name of your Lord, the Most High. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He who has created, then perfected. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. And he who proportioned, and then guided. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. And he who produced the green pasture, then he turned it into dark stubble. We've covered these beginning verses, so I won't repeat anything from them. Moving on to the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We will make you read, so you shall not forget. So do remember that even at the beginning of the surah, when Allah says Sabbih, it's singular. Allah is addressing only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, the lesson, the instruction and the guidance are universal beyond the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But initially and primarily, the address in the beginning of this surah is singular only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here as well, in this verse, Allah is addressing the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone, singularly. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We will make you read, so you shall not forget. This is a reference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meeting with Jibreel alayhi salam and receiving the revelation of the Quran from Jibreel alayhi salam. So whenever Jibreel alayhi salam would meet him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the recitation and the wahi, the revelation, to be mighty, which actually had not only a mental and emotional and spiritual effect on him, but even physically, it was quite overwhelming. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when receiving the revelation from Jibreel alaihi salam, would wrap himself even more in his cloth, in his cloak. And since it was so overwhelming, along with that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also felt or feared that he would forget what Jibreel alaihi salam is reciting to him. So although it's no comparison, and I'm reluctant to use it, but just for the purposes of our understanding, if someone, the simplest example is when someone tells us their phone number, so we say, what's your phone number? And if they start rattling off their phone number, we, fearing that we will miss out and we will forget the beginning because we are listening to the latter part, we begin repeating the phone number or the information under our breath. So that's the simplest and crudest example. And of course, there's no comparison to the Holy Quran. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fearing that he would receive the Quran and the revelation, but as he was listening to the latter part of the revelation, he feared that he may forget the beginning part, he would begin reciting alongside and immediately after Jibreel alayhi salam. So what would happen is Jibreel alayhi salam is reciting the Quran to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting along with him. But of course, Jibreel alayhi salam is slightly ahead, and he would do so for the fear of forgetting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, سَنُقْرِئُكْ فَلَا تَنْسَى. And there are other verses of the Holy Quran that speak of this as well. وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah told him, do not hasten with the Quran before its revelation is completed to you. So the meaning of before its revelation is completed to you is that before Jibreel does not complete. So do not hasten with the Quran until Jibreel completes its recitation to you. And this is even clearer in another verse where, in fact, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima, both relate from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he was known as Turjuman al-Quran, the interpreter of the Quran, the exegete of the Quran, the conveyor of the meanings of the Quran. And that's because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed for him, Allahumma allimhu al-ta'wil, oh Allah, teach him the meaning, i.e. of the book. And coincidentally, in a remarkable way, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma relates many of the hadith of the beginning of revelation, or the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received wahi. So again, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim relates from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous and the kindest and the most charitable of all people. And indeed he was. But the most charitable, but he was even more charitable, even more generous in the month of Ramadan when Jibreel would meet with him. And then he continues in the hadith that Jibreel alayhi salam would meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every day. Literally in the hadith it says, في كل ليلة من رمضان, in every night of Ramadan. And what would they do? So Jibreel alayhi salam would meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, so he would revise the Qur'an with him. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would meet with Jibreel and revise the Qur'an with him, thus Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma continues in the hadith, he would be extremely generous, so much so that he would be even more generous مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ than the free blowing wind. So in his charity, in his expenditure, in his distribution and sharing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was as generous and as free as the free blowing wind. And this was the direct effect of meeting with Jibreel alayhi salam. So one thing which I'd like to point out here is, we may think that how would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fear forgetting? After all, he was a messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what we learn from the ahadith is that indeed the origin of the Holy Quran is divine. The prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from Allah, from a divine source. But the manner, the method of conveying the Quran and the personal experience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of receiving the Holy Quran was in very human terms. And please do not misunderstand me. What I mean by very human terms is the source and the origin were all divine. But if you look at the experience, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about various things directly. But on many occasions, he would receive the revelation in a very human way. A perfect example is a hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, which I've commented on in detail, known as a hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of a man, one that they did not recognize. Sometimes he would come in the form of Dihyatul Kalbi, and on other occasions he would come in other forms. On this occasion, he came in the form of a total stranger. Nobody recognized him. And he came, he sat in the gathering, he posed questions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum recognized him. And they marveled at the manner of his approach, his speaking, his questioning. And then at the end of the hadith, Umar radiallahu anhum, and so to others, report that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you know who he is? Innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum deenakum." That he came to teach you your religion. That whole experience was very human. Similarly, on other occasions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet with Jibreel alaihi salam, and although he received direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on many occasions, when it came to the Quran, the entire Quran from beginning till end was revealed to him through Jibreel alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give Jibreel alayhi salam the commandments, the instructions, the Quran. He would come, he would actually recite to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was a very physical, personal experience. And again, as I said at the beginning, we learn from the narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wrap himself, and he would be physically overwhelmed. That physical overwhelming, that wrapping, that enshrouding in the blanket, that his being a muzammil muddathir. That was a very personal, physical experience. His sweating upon receiving the revelation, that was a very personal experience. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma relates in this hadith, that he would meet with Jibreel alayhi salam every night of Ramadan for yudarisuhu al-Qur'an, so he would revise the Qur'an with him. Again, that was a very personal, practical, physical, human experience, in the sense that Jibreel alayhi salam, this is in the month of Ramadan, he would recite that portion of the Qur'an that had been revealed hitherto. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would listen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the entire Qur'an as had been revealed till then. And Jibreel alayhi salam would listen. This is very similar to what Huffaz do in the month of Ramadan, which we call... In the hadith, it's described as fayudarisu, which is mudarasa, mutual studying. Another term would be muraja'ah, which is mutual revision, collective revision. And in Asian languages, we normally use the term dor. So dor is where a hafiz recites a longer part of the Holy Quran to the teacher. Or in the month of Ramadan, what do hafiz normally do? Two hafiz will sit, one would recite the Quran to the other. He will listen, the other will recite the Quran to the first, and he will listen. And in Urdu, in Asian languages, we call this dor. So dor, daw, is actually a distortion of the word dawr. And dawr means turn. And that's all it is. Each takes a turn, mudawara, in reciting to the other. So it's his dawr first, not dor, dawr. It's his dawr first. He will recite, the other will listen. Then it's his dawr. He will recite and the other will listen. So whether you call it muraja'ah, mudawarah, mudarasa, it's all the same. It's mutual recitation, mutual and collective revision, and mutual study. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this with Jibreel alayhi salam. This sunnah that we have till this day originates from the muraja'ah and the mudarasa of Jibreel alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what I mean by the whole experience being couched in very human terms. So going back to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma relating another hadith, as I said, coincidentally and remarkably, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma relates that hadith of Bukhari and Muslim about Jibreel alayhi salam meeting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam daily in Ramadan. He also relates another hadith about the revelation of the Qur'an and Jibreel alayhi salam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, in this hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would receive the revelation of the Holy Qur'an from Jibreel alayhi salam, fearing that he would forget it or it would escape him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would move his lips. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma demonstrated to his students, to his listeners, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would move his lips. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma did this to his students. And then each of the narrators and students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma did this with their students, and that tradition has actually continued till this day. So this is what we call al-hadith al-musalsal, where you have a linked, a chained hadith, where each teacher has done the same, sorry, each narrator has done the same as his teacher narrator before him. So just as Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrated this incident and then he demonstrated the tahriq al-shafatain, the movement of the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to his students, subsequent ulama and narrators demonstrated the same to their students, all the way to us, our late teacher of hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. I studied the entire Sahih al-Bukhari under Hadrat Mawlana Islam al-Haq Sahib rahimahullah, and he demonstrated it to us. And I've done it before with you as well, and I'd do it again. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma demonstrated the movement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's lips to his students in this manner. And then he continues, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah told him, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. O Messenger, do not move your tongue with the Quran so that you may hasten with it. إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. Verily, its collection It's gathering, i.e. the gathering and collecting of the Qur'an, i.e. in your heart, is our responsibility. وَقُرْآنَ And the recitation of the Qur'an is our responsibility. I'll explain that in a moment. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَا So when we recite it, فَاتَّبِعَ الْقُرْآنَ Then you follow his recitation, meaning Jibreel. So Jibreel alayhi salam was reciting on behalf of Allah. That's why Allah says in the regal pronoun, when we recite it, i.e. Jibreel on our behalf, then you follow his, Jibreel's recitation. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ Then indeed, its exposition, i.e. the Qur'an's exposition, its clarification, its expounding is on us. So all three sets of verses of the Holy Qur'an refer to the same thing. This in Surah Al-A'la, سَنُقْرِئُكْ فَلَا تَنْسَى We will make you read. وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ And do not hasten with the Qur'an before its revelation is completed to you. And in recognition of the eagerness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn and not to forget and not to let it escape, and in recognition of his enthusiasm and his zeal, Allah says at the end of that verse, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا And say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. SubhanAllah. Allah is instructing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray to Allah for knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا And say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. We can never know enough, and that's the reality of ilm. Little knowledge is dangerous, and at times ignorance is better than little knowledge. For little knowledge is dangerous. It can lead a person to delusion, misunderstanding, arrogance, haughtiness, pride, and that will be their downfall. We can never feel that we know enough. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to pray to Allah, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا And say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And then the third set of verses which I've just related now, from the Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانِكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ Do not move your tongue with it, i.e. with the Qur'an, so that you may hasten with it. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَةً Verily, the collecting of the Qur'an, i.e. in your heart, is our duty. It is upon us. وَقُرْآنَ And its recitation is upon us. As I said, I'll explain that in a moment. The Qur'an comes from Allah. Its words come from Allah. Its exposition, its meaning come from Allah. Even its manner of recitation comes from Allah. So, Qur'an here means its recitation, i.e. its method, its pronunciation, the tone, the intonation, the rhythm, the rise and fall, the tajweed, the manner of recitation, all of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salam read it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read it to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, And we've learnt it till this day. And this is actually part of the miraculous nature of the Holy Qur'an. I've mentioned before that in the Indian subcontinent, there's a phrase that it's in Urdu or Hindi, Har bahra gaon ke baad boli badalti hai. That after every 12 villages, The language changes. After every 12 villages, the language changes. And even in Switzerland, it's famously known because of their many mountains and valleys. Sometimes communities would remain isolated in their particular valley. So it was commonly believed that every valley in Switzerland had its own dialect. And that's just one example, but that may be true for many other mountainous regions. And even in the UK, as we travel up and down the country, it's a small country, and yet we have so many regional accents and even dialects. So dialects change, languages change, vocabularies change, not only in terms of place and space, where after a number of villages or valleys or a number of miles, everything about the language changes. The vocabulary, the usage, even the dialect. It may be the same language, but the dialect changes. And most importantly, the pronunciation. The pronunciation changes. And that's true for every region of the globe, for every language. So much so that only now, because of various factors, is there a bit more freedom in broadcasting. Otherwise, until very recently, broadcasting in English had to be with received pronunciation. And it was known as the Queen's English or BBC English received pronunciation. But remarkably, since we have both video and most certainly audio records of broadcasts stretching back and spanning the previous century, you can actually see that even the received pronunciation, which was supposed to be standard, changes almost every decade. So the received pronunciation was different in the 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, going back to the beginning of the last century. And that's all on record. And that's in one language, in just one country. And yet, it's remarkable that when it comes to the Holy Quran, the tilawa and the tajweed of the Qur'an has remained the same from China to Morocco, from the northern European Muslim countries, all the way to the depths of Africa. And not just in one century, but across 14 centuries. And that is truly remarkable. And that is part of the miracle of Inna Alayna Jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Verily, it's gathering in your heart, its collection in your heart, i.e. the Qur'an's collection, is our duty. Wa Qur'ana, and its recitation is upon us too. So our tilawa comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Jibreel alayhi salam. And then, thumma inna alayna bayana, as well as the meaning, the commentary, the exposition, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately. So going back to Surah Al-A'la, Allah says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى, we will make you read. فَلَا تَنْسَى, so you will not forget. And thus, from then on, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do is exactly what Allah told him, that you listen attentively. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَا فَاتَّبِعَ قُرْآنَ, O Messenger of Allah, listen silently and attentively. Do not hasten with the Qur'an. Do not move your lips. Do not move your tongue. And rest assured that it is our duty to collect the Qur'an in your heart. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَا, so when we have recited, meaning listen to Jibreel alayhi salam, once he has finished his recitation, then you read after him. And again, as I was saying, just as مُرَاجَعَةْ مُدَارَسَةْ, where students and حُفَّاظ of the Holy Qur'an They revise in the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibreel alayhi salam in the month of Ramadan. Similarly, our method of teaching the Holy Quran and learning the Holy Quran, where the teacher reads, the Qari reads, and the students read after him, after having listened to him, loudly practicing, Alhamdu, Alhamdu, Lillahi, Lillahi, Rabbil Alameen, Rabbil Alameen. That method, we aren't just given books and papers and a copy of the Holy Quran and told, go and figure it out yourself. No, we are made to read, and we read following the teacher. Even adults should learn like this, because the origin of this practice too is the manner in which Jibreel alayhi salam taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَا فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. When we have recited, then you follow his, meaning Jibreel's recitation. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being who he was, listened attentively and silently. When Jibreel alayhi salam finished his recitation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would follow up the recitation. So سَنُقْرِئُكْ, we will make you read. Allah then continues in Surah Al-A'la, فَلَا تَنْسَى. So you shall not forget. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, except what Allah wills. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being a human being, as he described himself, and as Allah has described the prophets in the Holy Quran, at times, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would forget he was a human being. And there are examples of this. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim both relate hadith from Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha, that once, she says once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was obviously with her, and he heard a companion reciting Qur'an in the masjid. And the companion was reciting Qur'an, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha radiyallahu anha, may Allah have mercy on him, for he has reminded me of a verse which I forgot from this surah. Now, it doesn't mean he completely forgot it, but at that moment, or shortly before that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed had forgotten that verse. But it doesn't mean that it was lost, because even the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum remembered it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded of that verse by a companion who was reciting. And this is a hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. So it's an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly said, may Allah have mercy on him, for he has reminded me of this verse which I forgot, which I dropped by forgetting. And then Imam Nasa'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal both relate a hadith which I've mentioned many times before, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the companions in Fajr Salah, and he was reciting Surah Ar-Rum, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced some confusion in his recitation. He actually experienced confusion in his recitation of Surah Ar-Rum, and this was in Fajr Salah. So after Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and said, some of you do not make good their wudu. For I was asking myself, why am I struggling with the Qur'an? So when you come to Salah, make good your wudu. What that hadith tells us is that the failure of some people to make good their wudu in the congregation had such an effect not only on them, but the imam who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it created confusion in his recitation. So, Before we look at others and judge them and condemn them, this is another beautiful hadith and reminder that we should look at ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced confusion in his recitation of Surah Ar-Rum. And what did he identify as the cause? The failure of people in the congregation to make good their wudu. Their failure to perfect their wudu had a negative impact on the tilawah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So rather than view others and judge them and condemn them, one should look at oneself. That whatever's wrong, what's my contribution to this? What's my failure in this? What's my fault in this? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being human, he did experience confusion in the recitation of the Holy Quran. And he would experience forgetfulness. Or forgetting, I wouldn't say forgetfulness, but he would experience forgetting, as we've just learned from the hadith of Bukhari, Muslim, the hadith of Sunan al-Nasa'i, the hadith of Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So, illa ma sha'Allah, this falls into the category of illa ma sha'Allah, except what Allah wishes. So, sanuqri'uk fala tansa, we will make you read so you shall not forget. You won't forget what you fear you will forget. Upon receiving the revelation from Jibreel alayhi salam. However, as part of human nature and experience, when Allah wishes, if and when Allah wishes, you may temporarily forget. And we see that happened. So, illa ma sha'Allah, except what Allah wishes. The Qur'an is mu'jiz. The Qur'an is mu'jiz. It's a defeater. It's an overwhelmer. And I've given examples before. I personally know people that I have recited Qur'an with, read Qur'an with. They are unable. So, one individual, he, and this is no stigma, it's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he suffers from a speech impediment. He's unable to. He can converse, of course, but at times he struggles. Musa alayhi salam suffered from a speech impediment. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He prayed to Allah, O Allah, untie the knot in my tongue so that they may understand my words. Musa alayhi salam, remarkably, his title is Kaleemullah, the one with whom, the conversant of Allah, the one with whom Allah would converse. That was his special title. And yet, he suffered from a speech impediment. So, Kaleemullah, he was the conversant of Allah, the one who conversed with Allah, and yet he suffered from a speech impediment. So there's no stigma. It's qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam suffered from a speech impediment. Many others have, and will, and continue to do so. So this hafiz of the Holy Quran, he suffers from a speech impediment. He stutters and stammers in normal everyday conversation. And yet, I have prayed Taraweeh behind him, with him. He would lead, I would lead. We would recite the Quran to each other during the day. And in my entire life, I have never, ever heard him once pause, hesitate, stutter, or stammer in the recitation of the Holy Quran. Not once. Yet when it comes to everyday speech, sadly, he suffers from stuttering and stammering. I know another student who sadly, over the years, he had learning difficulties. So he was unable to understand many masail when he would study books of fiqh, etc. Even though someone would explain the same mas'ala to him repeatedly, over and over again, for a period of 10, 15 minutes, and he would say, yes, I understand. A few minutes later, when he was questioned again, he became confused, he was unable to explain. And yet that same person, it was well known, he could stand up and recite the 10 juz out of 30 juz, meaning one third of the Qur'an, without pause, without hesitation, in one rak'ah, without making a single mistake. As a regular occurrence, just stand up and read. The Qur'an is mu'jiz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to whom He wills. Allah causes the Qur'an to be remembered by those whom He wishes. And Allah withholds the Qur'an from whomever He wishes. I've told you the story of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmahullah, on a number of occasions. He had a photographic memory, truly did. And he was a remarkable scholar. He was able to memorize entire books with one read. An Egyptian scholar, Rashid Rida, who had great experience and knowledge of many different Muslim communities, organizations, scholars, authors across the Arab world. He traveled to India, and unannounced, he arrived at Darul Uloom, Dioband, where Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah was teaching, unannounced. And he would teach in Urdu. So the scholars of the management came and informed Shah Sahib, meaning Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri, rahimahullah, that an Egyptian scholar is here, an Arab scholar from Egypt is here, and he wishes to participate in the lesson. But he's unable to sit on the ground, so he will be given a chair. And he requests that you deliver your entire lecture in Arabic so that he may benefit and participate and understand. So instantly, without any preparation, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah switched his commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari from Urdu to Arabic. Every couple of minutes, Rashid Rida would jump out of his chair and pointing at Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah, he would say, Wallahi lam ara mithla hadha rajul qat. By Allah, I have never seen a man like him in my life. So, truly he was a genius. I've mentioned before that Iqbal, the great poet of Pakistan, he had a doctorate in philosophy. He was not only a poet, but he had a doctorate in philosophy. And there were certain philosophical questions which he was unable to reconcile with the teachings of Islam. And he wrote to scholars and ulama, and he debated and discussed with many people. Eventually, he was told, write to Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri. He wrote to Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri. With his concerns, his doubts, his questions, Allahu Akbar. In single replies, Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri was able to quench his thirst and satisfy him, was able to answer all of his questions. And that's why Iqbal, the poet, truly revered Allama Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri. When it came to philosophy, when it came to ilm al-kalam, when it came to metaphysics, brilliantly, we have Kitab al-Tawheed, which is the final book of Sahih al-Bukhari, and the title is Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Tawheed, and it seems very simple. And Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah, he summarized the title and the contents of the whole of the final book of Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tawheed, by explaining that this is actually a book of metaphysics. The whole book is a discussion of metaphysics. So when it came to ilm al-kalam, when it came to theology, metaphysics, which in Urdu and Arabic is known as ilahiyat, when it came to Quran, hadith, fiqh, tafsir, this man was a genius, he truly was. I mean, he was hailed by the other ulama, and he had a photographic memory. He could read a book from beginning to end and write the whole book just from one single reading, he could write it out. And he actually did that. He was teaching Fath al-Qadir once, which is a commentary of Imam Marghinani's Al-Hidayah. Which is a book of Hanafi fiqh. And Kamaluddin ibn Humam, he wrote a vast commentary on it, known as Fath al-Qadir. And Kamaluddin ibn Humam was a scholar of hadith, he was a scholar of fiqh, but he was also a great scholar of hadith. So he wrote this extensive commentary, Fath al-Qadir, on Imam Marghinani's famous work of Hanafi fiqh, Al-Hidayah. So Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, once in his lesson, he read out an entire passage from Fath al-Qadir. And he said, this is from a reading, if I recall correctly, over 36 years ago. And if you were to go back to the original, you will not find a single wow out of place. And truly, he was like that. But when it came to the Holy Qur'an, he was not a hafiz. And once his son visited us here, so I asked his son, who's also passed away, rahimahullah, Maulana Andar Shah Kashmiri. He was a great man of letters too, a great poet. Once Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, rahimahullah, was reading Maulana Andar Shah Kashmiri's book on poetry. So this is the son of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri. And I was with him and he was reading, and every couple of seconds he would say, SubhanAllah, wow, kya kalam, kya kalam. What speech, what words, what poetry. Amazing, astounding. Every couple of seconds. And then he began reading out some of the poetry. It was in beautiful Urdu. And obviously, so I said to the rest of us, there were ulama there, we were just listening and looking. So I said to Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Hazrat, it takes an adib to recognize an adib. It takes a man of letters to recognize a man of letters. The rest of us, what do we know? So he was able to appreciate his poetry. So even Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri's son, Maulana Andar Shah Kashmiri, rahimahullah, he was very eloquent, a man of letters, a great poet. So he visited us here once, and in a gathering I asked him, I said, can you clarify for us whether your father was a hafiz of the Qur'an or not? And he said, no. And imagine, this is the son speaking. Maybe he would try to gloss over his father's inability to memorize the Qur'an, or maybe fudge the issue. But no, he was frank. And he actually said all of the following. He said, this is the i'jaz of the Holy Qur'an. This is the overwhelming and defeating nature of the Qur'an. That Allama Sahib, he wouldn't even refer to his father as my father. He would refer to him as Al-Allama. So he wouldn't say, my father, my father, my father. Rather, he would say, Al-Allama, the Allama, the Allama, referring to his father. He said, this is the i'jaz, the defeating and overwhelming nature of the Holy Qur'an, that Allama, who was a genius, a scholar, who had a photographic memory, who was able to memorize entire books of fiqh and multi-volume commentaries, for this may not apply to many of us, but at least for the talabatul ilm and the ulama, for your appreciation, and going back to what I said earlier, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. When Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah was selected by Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah to teach Sahih al-Bukhari, he appointed him. He was given this notice shortly before Ramadan. So he only had 2 months approximately, or maybe slightly more, approximately 2 months before the new year began and he would start teaching. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah, before he sat down to teach Sahih al-Bukhari, and unfortunately this is the tragedy of Sahih al-Bukhari and the tragedy of hadith in our day and age and learning and ilm in general. I was travelling with someone once and he mentioned the name of an individual. So I said, I said, yes, I know him. And people referred to him as an alim, as a scholar. But he's not, he never studied. He studied 1 or 2 years and then left. So this individual who knows him well and who's from the same city, he said, you do know he's not an alim? And I said, yes, I do know. And I said to him, well, you know as well he's not an alim. He goes, yes, of course. And then he said, but now he's gone a step further. Not only has he given himself the title of an alim and he tells everyone I'm an alim when he never studied, but he said he's actually started teaching Sahih al-Bukhari. I said, subhanAllah. There was someone else that I was informed of, that in his days of study, his teachers would complain of him that his presence or his absence in class makes no difference. As the people, as one people said to their prophet, as quoted in the Holy Quran, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَوَعَذْتَ أَمْ لَمْ تَقُمْ مِنَ الْوَاعِذِينَ. To us it's the same, whether you preach to us or you don't preach to us, makes no difference. So this one student, his own teachers would complain that he was unable to understand anything. And so he was actually relieved of his learning duties. They would say it's actually better for you not to study. And then years later I learned that despite not really learning, he's teaching Sahih al-Bukhari. So unfortunately, this is a tragedy of ilm. So going back to Allama Anwar Kashmiri, rahimahullah, when he was appointed, now this is a man with a photographic memory, when he was appointed to teach Sahih al-Bukhari, he had only about 2 months before the new year began, approximately. What did he do? He read the whole of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani's Fath al-Bari. He read the whole of Badruddin al-Aini's Umdat al-Qari. These are two commentaries of Sahih al-Bukhari by 9th century scholars. So Badruddin al-Aini died in 855 Hijri, 9th century Hijri scholars. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he died in 852 Hijri. And he also studied the entirety of Qastallani's Irshad al-Sari, which is another commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari. He's a late scholar of the 10th century. He died in 923 Hijri. So he studied these three entire commentaries. And on top of that, before teaching Sahih al-Bukhari, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri read the whole of Sahih al-Bukhari deeply, with concentration, understanding, focus and devotion from the beginning till end. You know how many times? 13 times. Despite being a genius. That is just one example of وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا and O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Ilm is a huge responsibility. So, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, his son, said that Allama Sahib, despite being a genius, one who memorized entire commentaries, when it came to the Holy Quran, he wasn't a hafiz. And like I said, he didn't fudge the issue. He didn't gloss over the question. He actually went as far as saying the following. He said, and he's talking about his father, he said, not only wasn't he a hafiz of the Quran, in fact, he couldn't even recall verses of the Quran. So when he would be in a large gathering, and indeed before him would be ulama and students of ilm, he would be citing hadith, masail, biographies, biographic details, years of birth, years of death. And then he would have to quote something from the Quran, and all of a sudden he would break his pattern and he would actually say, and that verse of the Holy Quran in which Allah says, and he would do this. So different ulama and qurra, well, ulama, different ulama would begin reciting different verses of the Quran if they never knew what he's talking about, which particular one, or they had some idea. And then when one of them would recite the correct verse, he would say, yes, that one. So his own son said, not only wasn't he a hafiz of the Qur'an, he was unable to recall the Holy Qur'an. That is the i'jaz of the Qur'an. I'm a nobody, but I had an extremely strange experience with Surah Al-A'la once. Once. Allah says, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. That we will make you read, so you shall not forget except that which Allah wills. And then after that comes, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Indeed, he knows that which is apparent and that which is concealed. So the next verse is, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. I still remember clearly I was leading Isha Salah. And I recited Surah Al-A'la. And I reach this verse, سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى, that we shall make you read, then you shall not forget, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ, except that which Allah wishes. And my mind went completely blank. I didn't know what was next. And I'm being very honest. I'm a human being. I panicked. I actually panicked in Salah, not huge panic, but my mind went blank. So what I did, I started the surah again, since it wasn't too long, so I hadn't gone that far. So I started the surah again, Subhisma Rabbika al-A'la, in the hope that the flow would bring back the next verse. When I reached سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ, again, completely blank. So this time I didn't want to start the surah again, so I just paused. And then a non-hafiz, old man who was standing right behind me, in a very loud voice, he said, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa." So I caught it, and then I continued reading. But I went completely blank, and I started the surah again in my panic. I'm not going to lie, I actually did that. I panicked, I started the surah again, and when I reached the same verse, I just couldn't recall the next verse. And that the haji, there's an old haji behind me, he wasn't a hafidh of the Qur'an, and he gave me the talqeen, and I listened to what he had to say, and then I carried on. And it wasn't an easy flow immediately thereafter, because when he said, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa," I actually confused the tilawah of that verse as well. "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa." I actually said, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa yakhfa." So he repeated it a second time, and then I remembered, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa," and then I continued. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can withhold the Qur'an from whom he wishes, even momentarily. So he even told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Sanuqri'uk fala tansa." We shall make you read, fala tansa, then we will make you read, then you shall not forget. Illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah wills. Then Allah continues, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa." Verily he, Allah, knows the apparent, and he knows that which is concealed. The knowledge of Allah, this is a very simple verse to understand the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal knows everything. And that is described in many different ways throughout the Holy Quran. Again, this verse, "Innahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa." Indeed, he knows that which is apparent and that which is concealed. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, "To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. And if you reveal that which is in your hearts, or you conceal it, يحاسبكم به الله, Allah will still hold you to account for it." Allah will hold you to account for it. In another verse, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّاهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, "And with Allah are the treasures and the keys of the unseen. None knows them except He. And He knows all that is on the land and in the sea. And not a single leaf falls except that He knows it. And there is not a single seed or grain in the darknesses of the earth. And there is none wet or dry." And this can be literal or even figurative, in that there is absolutely nothing small, large, wet, dry. "Illa fi kitabin mubin," except that it's in the clear book. Allah knows all. "Inna Allah 'indahu 'ilmu as-sa'ah." وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. With Allah, verily, Allah, with Him is the knowledge of the final hour. And it is He who sends down rain. And this is a perfect example of knowledge. We have meteorological supercomputers. We have predictive systems. We have artificial intelligence working on weather forecasts. Some of the most powerful supercomputers across the world. If you look at the ranking of supercomputers, most of the most powerful supercomputers are actually being used for meteorology. And yet you have the butterfly effect, where the flapping of the wings of a butterfly in the southern hemisphere can affect hurricanes in the northern hemisphere. And all of that is utterly unpredictable. So when Allah says, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and He sends down rain, this is a reference to His ilm, that Allah knows all with precision. He is the Lord, He is the Master, He is the originator, He is the creator, He is the sustainer and the keeper of the heavens and the earth. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and He knows that which is in the wombs. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and no soul knows what it shall do tomorrow. You may have seen the clip of that psychic fortune teller, where in another country you had this intrepid interviewer on TV speaking to a fortune teller, and the fortune teller psychic was boasting of his psychic abilities and ability to predict the future and forecast, and he was making a lot of money out of it. So how did this intrepid interviewer and broadcaster test him as he was talking to him, and he was boasting about how he could predict things years ahead, etc.? He suddenly slapped him. And then he said, you never saw that coming, did you? So وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and no soul knows what it shall do tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, and no soul knows on which land it shall die. Allah's knowledge is all-encompassing. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, He knows the treachery of the eyes and that which the hearts conceal. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرُ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Do you not see that Allah knows all that is in the heavens and the earth? There is no whispering of three except that He is the fourth of them. And nor is there any whispering of five except that He is the sixth of them. And nor is there any whispering of more or less except that He is with them. Then He shall inform them of what they did on the day of resurrection. So Allah's knowledge, as Luqman alayhi salam, when advising his son, he told him of the all-encompassing, all-penetrating knowledge of Allah. Ya bunayya innaha in takum ithqala habbatin min khardal فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Oh my son, if there is anything to the weight of one grain of a mustard seed, and then even that is inside a rock or anywhere in the heavens and in the earth. Of samawat, yati biha Allah. Allah will produce it. Allah will bring it forth. Verily, Allah is subtle, all-knowing, all-aware. And there are countless verses throughout the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of his all-encompassing, all-penetrating knowledge. So here, Allah says, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرُ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Indeed, he knows the apparent and that which is concealed. وَنَيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And we shall eat, and Allah continues, وَنَيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And we, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we shall ease you unto ease. I've explained much of the meaning of this in my commentary of Surah Al-Layl, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. That as for one who is wary of Allah, fears Allah, and who gives, i.e. in charity, and who attests to the truth of the beautiful thing, meaning Islam, religion, the Qur'an, Allah says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Verily, we shall ease him unto ease. And here he's telling the Prophet ﷺ directly, we shall ease you unto ease. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him and carry him along the easy path of deen, of religion, of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that easy path will lead to Jannah itself, the ease. That's why some ulama have interpreted yusra to mean Jannah itself. But this is it. It's the easy path to Jannah. Now it doesn't mean, what is the easy path? What is the, when Allah says we shall ease you unto ease, what's the meaning of that ease, that comfort, that bliss, that relief? What is it? It's Islam, it's religion. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy in human terms. So for us, the meaning of easy is we do nothing and we get Jannah for free. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةٌ. Know that the product of Allah is expensive. It's valuable. It demands a price. So the meaning of ease here isn't that it's completely easy. See, when a person calibrates their thinking, they will find ease in what Allah has described as being easy. But unless their thinking is calibrated, they will see haqq where there is batil, and they will see batil where there is haqq. They will see usr where there is yusr, and they will see yusr where there is usr. Yusr meaning ease, and usr, difficulty. They will see restriction where there is liberation and freedom, and they will see liberation and freedom where there is restriction. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن يَرَوْ سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِن يَرَوْ سَبِيلَ الْغَيَّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا. If they see the path of righteousness, they will not take it and adopt it. But if they see the path of waywardness, غَيَّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا, they will take it as a path. That's because they see غَيَّ where there's rushd, and rushd where there's غَيَّ, haqq where there's batil, batil where there's haqq. And that's when our thinking isn't calibrated. If a compass isn't calibrated, it'll show you north where there's south. So you have to calibrate your compass. And we have to calibrate our thinking. Fine-tune it. So that we are on the same wavelength, as what the Quran and the Hadith are telling us. If we're on a different wavelength, no matter how loud the sound is and the volume is, all we will hear is static and stutter and buzz. It won't penetrate our hearts. But those who are tuned into the same frequency, For them, even at a low volume, the message is crystal clear. For the rest of us, it's just static. It's just noise in the background. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes hidayah, guidance, haqq, truth, rushd, righteousness, and the path of religion and the path of deen as being ease and comfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking as the Quran describes it, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it. Just as about fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, fast. And how are we to fast? From dawn till sunset. And for many people who've never had that experience, to them it's horrifying. How can you remain hungry and thirsty for all those hours? And Allah says of it, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wishes ease for you. Allah doesn't wish difficulty for you. That's why He's given concessions. But even that verse suggests in itself, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah doesn't burden a soul with except to its strength, which means that Allah has told us to fast, we are actually able to do it. But until we don't calibrate our thinking, even that will seem impossible. So Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shall ease you unto ease. I'll end here. I'll quickly translate the verses that we've covered so far. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. Elevate the name of thy Lord, the Most High. He who has created and then perfected. He who has guided. He who has proportioned and then guided. He who has produced the green pasture and then reduced it or made it dark stubble. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. We will make you read, then you shall not forget. Accept what Allah wills. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Verily He knows the apparent and that which is concealed. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. And we will ease you unto ease. Inshallah, we'll continue with the remainder of the surah in the next session. Wa sallallahu sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.